Parshas Emor. So one of the Parshas Emor discusses a couple of different themes. It discusses the laws of the Kohanim and the special status that they have, and then the Torah gets into a discussion of the Yom Tovim. In various different places throughout the Torah describes the different holidays, the three Shavuot Regalim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, as well as Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. It's discussed in various places, and this Parsha is one of them. This is one of the longer discussions that the Torah actually has on the Yontiv of Shavuos, as well as the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, the mitzvah of counting the Omer. So I figure since we find ourselves, as it works out almost every year, Parshas Emor falls right in the middle of this period, right before the holiday of Shavuos, so we'll focus on those psukim and get ourselves in Shavuos mode. We'll start preparing. It's only 3 weeks away. Today is the 28th day of the Omer, 4 weeks, which means that in exactly 3 weeks from today, we will be beginning to get ourselves ready. It's on Tuesday, right?
I think it's a Wednesday and Thursday.
Is it Wednesday?
Tuesday night.
Because
the first day.
So we'll be getting ourselves ready for Shavuos just 3 weeks from now. So it's not too early. Not too early to start. Okay. So before we actually look at the Psukim, if you just want to start flipping, it is on page 682 and 683 where we'll start. I just want to introduce this with one brief Gemara. The Gemara discusses the Yontif of Shavuos, and there's describes it in the following context. This is a Gemara in Maseches Psachim, of a tractate discussing the laws of Pesach primarily. The Gemara presents a fascinating dispute amongst the sages of the Talmud exactly how one is supposed to celebrate Yontif. How should one celebrate the general holidays? And the Gemara presents the following dispute. Rabbi Eliezer, one of the sages of the Gemara, says as follows: Ein lo la'adam biyantiv, ela o ochel v'shoisa. Either a person should spend his entire day eating and drinking, celebrating the holiday, so to speak, what we would call for oneself, with physical enjoyment, expressing the holiday's joy with holiday meals. Oh, yoshev v'shona. Or he should spend the entire day sitting and learning and davening. Either a permanent, like you should be sitting and having your feast the whole day, or you should be like Yom Kippur, you should be in shul the whole day. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Every yontif that comes, you should choose one or the other. Either it's an entirely spiritual day dedicated to learning and davening, or a day that's dedicated to yourself. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that's not what we do. Chalkehu, you split it. Chatzia v'achilo shtia. Half of it should be designated for eating and for drinking, v'chatziyav lebeis hamedrash, and the other half should be spent in spiritual pursuits in the beis hamedrash, learning, davening, and the like. And the Gemara goes on to discuss where the verses came from for their sources as to why we would have this dispute, whether or not it should be entirely for Hashem or entirely for you, or whether or not it should be split. The Gemara brings that little discussion. And then at the end of that Gemara, the Gemara says, but everybody agrees, but Seres, when it comes to celebrating the holiday of Shavuos, Deva'ino Nami Lochem, everybody there agrees that there has to be a part of the for you celebration. Meaning even the opinion that holds on Pesach or on Sukkot, you could be eating, you could be davening and in the Beis Medrash the whole day. Everybody agrees on Shavuos, it has to be split. It has to be a little bit of time in the Beis Medrash and a little bit of time for yourself. Why? Yontif shenitna bo toirahu. This is the yom, this is the day that the Torah was given to the Jewish people. And since this is the day that the Torah was given to the Jewish people, everybody would agree, for sure on this day, there has to be festive celebration of eating and drinking, and some time spent in spiritual pursuits in the Beis Medrash with learning and with davening. So the context of our discussion is that this unique aspect of Shavuos, despite the fact that for other holidays there might be a dispute amongst the sages how it should be celebrated, there is no question when it comes to Shavuos. Shavuos must be a little bit for God, learning and davening, and a little bit for you. And the reason behind that, because this is, after all, the day that the Torah was given. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well.
You would have said it differently, I could tell.
Yeah.
How would you have said it?
I would think Yeah, that if that's the day the Torah was given, you'd think that that would be the one day of all
100%. That should be given, right? Is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
Right? It sounds a little counterintuitive. If you want to tell me there's a dispute, there's a dispute. But to tell me that there's a dispute, but by Shavuos, there's no dispute. There, it has to be for yourself. It has to be a festive day with eating and with drinking. Yes, some of the day should be dedicated for spiritual pursuits. We will spend the entire evening studying, and then the rest of Shavuos also is supposed to be learning as well. But there must be some festivities, some festive meals on Shavuos, because that's the day the Torah is given. If you're going to give an answer, then I'm not going to call on you.
I'll wait till the end.
Okay. All right, that'll be the backdrop of our discussion. Okay, let's take a look at some of the verses. The Torah actually discusses Shavuos in a couple of different places. The primary one is going to be our parsha, which we'll take a look at. But I want to look at two shorter passages first, just to get a little wider concept and context of the way the Torah describes Shavuos. So let's start. I wrote down the source. I didn't write down the page. I apologize. In Shmos and Perek Lamed Dalet, in chapter 34, Chaf Beis, that comes out to be about page 512. So here's another one of the discussions where we have a list of the holidays. So if you actually flip back one page to 510 and 511, you'll see on the very bottom of that page, verse 18, you shall observe the festival of Matzos. So here the Torah is beginning to discuss the concept of Pesach, the festival of Matzos. Now again, as I just said, how does the Torah refer to what we call Pesach?
Festival of Matzos.
Festival of Matzos. I just read it, right? Now, does that make sense or not make sense that it should be referred to as a festival of Matzos?
It makes sense.
That works, right? That's what we do. It's the principal mitzvah of the day. We eat matzah. We observe the matzahs. We guard them. Right? The festival of matzahs. 7-day period, you shall eat matzahs as I commanded you at the appointed time. Spring, when you went forth from Egypt. Torah then has a few lines about the firstborn animals and redeeming them in verses 19 and 20, which is not relevant to us today. And then 21, we move into the next holiday. 6 days shall you work, and on the seventh day shall you desist. That's actually, excuse me, still referring to Pesach. You shall desist from plowing and harvesting. So that's what we do on Pesach. We have a holiday in the beginning, and then we have 5 days of Chol HaMoed in the middle, and then on the seventh day, again, another holiday. Verse 22, and this is us, you shall make the festival of weeks with the first offering of the wheat harvest. And the festival of the harvest shall be at the changing of the year. So the first half of the verse is referring to what?
Shavuos.
And the back half of the verse is referring to?
Sukkot.
Correct. So how does the Torah refer to Shavuos? What phrase do we use for what we call Shavuos?
Festival of Weeks.
Good, excellent. I know that's a trick question. Now, how is that referred to in Hebrew?
Shavuos.
Now, the only thing that's interesting about that is its name. Why did we call Pesach the Chag HaMatzos?
Because we eat matzah.
Right, that's what the Torah says. For the 6 days you'll eat matzah. That defines... So what do we call the Yontif of Shavuos? We call it Shavuos. What does Shavuos actually mean?
Weeks.
It means weeks. So it's called the Holiday of Weeks, which is actually a funny name for it. Why is that a funny name for Shavuos?
It's just 2 days.
It's not even 2 days. How long is it really?
1 day.
It's really 1 day. In the diaspora, we celebrate it as two.
Right.
But it's really only one.
Yeah.
What does it have to do with weeks?
Counting the weeks and the weeks between.
From
the
right?
Time.
It is the culmination of the weeks and days we will count from Pesach until we get to this holiday. That's an interesting name of a holiday. Mm. It's called the Chag HaShavuos. That's the way the Torah describes it here in Pasuk Chaf Beis. V'chag Shavuos ta'aseh lecha. You shall make for yourself a festival of weeks. It's an interesting name. It's really one day which culminates days and weeks of counting, and we define the day by that. It's not defined by the matzah that we eat on Pesach. It's not defined by the back half of the Pesach, or the back half of this verse, V'chag Ho'asif, a festival of gathering, of harvest. That refers to the time surrounding Sukkot, what's going on around the time of Sukkot. We're harvesting. And this is just the holiday of weeks. Now, what else does this verse tell us about Shavuot? There's one other piece of information that's given to us.
I guess the three times a year.
No, in verse 22. Verse 22. What other piece of information is given to us in verse 22?
The first offering of the wheat harvest.
First offering of the wheat harvest. So what we know about Shavuot so far is that it's called the holiday of weeks, and that what goes on that day will be the first offering of the wheat harvest. There will be something new, something in the language of the Bikurei, the firsts of the Ketzir Chitim, of the cutting down of the wheat, will be brought on that holiday. So far so good, straightforward. One verse telling us a little about the holiday of Shavuot. Let's flip back, not to our parsha yet, one more, in Devarim Tezayin, the 16th chapter of Devarim, which will put us around page 1022. All right, top of the page, on page 1022. Everybody got me? So this again, if you just flip back one page just to get the context and reading our little heart scroll headers, which we are so grateful for. The beginning of chapter 16 basically says the three pilgrimage festivals. Again, as the Torah does in various different... Now, we could do a whole study on why the Torah breaks up its discussion of the holidays in so many different places. Basically, in one place it discusses the sacrifices, in one place it discusses the mitzvahs. There's various things discussed, but there are two or three different places. So this is one of them in which we discuss Pesach, and then as we flip to our page, on page 1022, Shavuos, and you see the header, Sukkot, the three. Let's just read in English, just since this is not our primary source, let's just read it through for Shavuos. What do we have here? You shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. When do we count from these 7 weeks? From when the sickle is first put to the standing crop, shall you begin to count 7 weeks. Then you shall observe the festival of Shavuos for Hashem your God. The voluntary offerings that you shall give shall be commensurate with how much Hashem your God will have blessed you. So what do we have so far? What does Shavuos basically, how do we count Shavuos?
From when the sickle is first put to the standing crop.
Okay, so we're going to again have a starting point. The sickle is going to be put to the standing grain, and then we're going to start counting. And then what happens after, or how long do we count for? Tells us 7 weeks. And then what happens? A holiday. How do we define that holiday again? How does the Torah define the holiday of this Yontif? What phrase?
Festival of weeks.
Again, it's referred to as a festival of weeks. So again, we don't have... Now, there's also something else that's missing here. There's no date for when this holiday will be observed. There's no date on the Hebrew calendar. It doesn't say, like it does by the other holidays, on the 15th day of the first month, on the 15th day of the 8th. There's no date. When do we celebrate this holiday of weeks?
7 weeks.
After we count the 7 weeks. We're going to start the count when the sickle is first put to the standing grain. Then we're going to start to count. 7 weeks later, we will celebrate this holiday of weeks. Again, with that one day of holiday is defined by the 7 weeks leading up to it. That defines the nature of the day, and that is how and when we will celebrate it. And the verses then just continue, you shall rejoice before Hashem, all the people in your cities, and the place that Hashem will choose. So that's all that we're told. What are we told about the nature of the day as far as this little passage goes?
Nothing.
Really nothing. It doesn't tell us anything. It only tells us when it will be. It will be from 7 weeks from the time the sickle is put to the standing grain, then you will celebrate again this festival of weeks. So what's really the most primary new piece of information? This idea of the sickle being put to the standing crop is the starting point of our count. Okay, so far so good? All right, now let's get to our parsha. Alright, back to our place. 682. Okay, Psukim 4 through 8, verses Dalet through Ches. It begins the discussion of Pesach here on page 682 and 683. That paragraph describes Pesach, and it describes basically the beginning of the holiday of Pesach as we've just recently experienced. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, is now going to begin the mitzvah of the Omer, which takes place during Pesach. So let's start there. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. New mitzvah, new commandment that Hashem speaks to Moshe, saying, verse 9, on the bottom of page 683, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yamarto aleihem, speak to the Jewish people and say to them, Ki sovo el ha'aretz asher ani nosein lochem, you will come to the land that I shall give you, u'kitzartem es kitzira, and you shall reap its harvest. So you will get there, you will reap its harvest. Ve'heveisem es omer reishis kitzirchem el ha'kohen. And then you will bring an omer. Now an omer is actually a measure, a certain amount of this newly harvest grain, and you will bring it to the Kohen. Now, the Torah uses the word reishis kitzirchem, the first harvest to the Kohen. Now, I did not have you keep your finger in your place, but if you recall, verse 22 in chapter 34 of Shmos, the first thing that we saw together, I will read it to you as I have it open to me. Tell me what's odd. Sixth, you shall make the festival of weeks with the first offering of the wheat harvest. Shall make the festival of weeks. When is this festival being made?
Shavuot's
time, which is 7 weeks after Pesach. What are you making the festival with?
With the first
offering of the wheat harvest. So far, so good? Now, read again the verse that we just read in verse 10. How do we start this count, this concept of the Omer? Speak to the Jewish people. When you get to the land, you shall bring an Omer from your first harvest to the Kohen. What am I doing with the Omer? I'm bringing the first of my harvest to the Kohen. What am I doing 7 weeks later? I'm bringing the first?
The first of the wheat offering.
So, obviously, it can't be two firsts, right? You can only be first once. Except if you have a bunch of little children in a room, you can all make your first and your first. Yes, you're all first. Because about other, but in reality, we know that doesn't really work very well. Only one person can actually be first. So, what's the little difference? There's one word that was different.
Wheat.
When it came to Shavuos, back in Shmos on page 512, the verse there, you shall make the festival of weeks with the first offering of the wheat harvest. So the first time we're going to bring wheat is going to be on Shavuos, which means the first offering of the harvest that's being brought on Pesach with the Omer, all that we know is that it's not going to be wheat. So far so good? Right, because the first wheat harvest is going to first happen 7 weeks later in Shavuos, and that's the first. So if I have to bring an Omer offering with my grain, and it's the first of my grain, well then it can't possibly be brought from wheat, because then I wouldn't be able to fulfill the verse that says 7 weeks later I need to bring the first of my offering from wheat. So when it comes to my Omer, it's going to be something other than wheat. We good so far? Okay, am I moving too slow or too fast? It's a little bit more technical than usual, so I'm trying to make sure we all stay together. Continuing on, 11. Yud Aleph, Ve'nifes Ha'omer Lefnei Hashem Lirtzonchem. What will you do with this first offering Pesach time? You will wave it before Hashem to gain favor for you. Mimocharas Hashabos Yenifenu HaKohen. On the day after Shabbos, you will wave it. Now there's much discussion which we're not going to get into right now. Mimocharas HaShabbos refers to the day after Pesach. Even though the Torah uses the word Shabbos, we don't wait till the first Sunday of Pesach to bring the Korban HaOmer. It means we wait till the day after Yontif. So if Yontif is this week, this year was on a Monday night, Tuesday, so therefore on Tuesday night, Wednesday is going to be the first day of the Omer, which is what we did. That's when we counted the first day of the Omer. The day after the first day of Pesach is when this waving takes place.
But it says he'll wave it on the morrow of the rest day, which would be the first day of Pesach.
On the Mimocharas HaShabbos, on the morrow of the rest day. Not on the day of the rest day.
But the next day.
Right, on the morrow of the rest day. So the rest day is referred to as Pesach.
Sorry.
So then the morrow will bring it. Reading through 12 through 14. Quickly, on the day you wave the Omer, you shall perform the service of an unblemished lamb, meaning there's a sacrifice to be brought as well. It's a meal offering. shall be 2/10 ephah, fine flour, fire, offering to Hashem, a satisfying aroma, and its libation. You shall not eat bread or roasted kernels or plum kernels until this very day, until you bring the offering of your God, is an eternal decree. Meaning, this is a concept called chadash. You can't harvest any grain until the Korban HaOmer is brought. You ever heard of the prohibition called chadash? If you've seen people say, I only eat yashan. Basically, you can only, once the korban has been brought, that then permits all of the grain to be harvested and produced. But you couldn't eat any of that grain until the korban haomer has been brought. That's a whole other discussion which we will set aside for now. The offering that's brought from this grain on the omer, you bring a fine flour offering. Is that fine flour offering chametz or is it not chametz? How do you know?
It's harvested after Pesach. It was grown. It grew during Pesach, but so if it grew during, I don't know.
Wasn't everything done with matzah?
Okay, so that's correct. But you can bring a stronger proof. When am I bringing this fine flour offering?
You're bringing it during Pesach,
right? It's the day after Yontif. Pesach in the Torah is, right, 7 days. The first day is Yontif, 5 days of Chol HaMoed, and then the last day is Yontif. When is this Korban Omer offering brought? Which from a grain, which we know so far. All we know so far is it's not wheat. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing a grain, and I make it into a fine flour offering. When is that brought?
Starting the second day.
Second day. Will that fine flour offering be chametz or non-chametz?
Non-chametz.
Why?
Because
it's Pesach. So we have all of them were generally not made out of chametz. We have an even stronger reason why it can't possibly be chametz. We're bringing it during Pesach.
Right.
What is this grain? So we'll skip ahead. Rashi tells us it's actually made out of barley. The Omer offering was made out of barley. They would cut down barley, make it into a fine flour, and then the barley offering that came together with this Korban HaOmer, this waving of the barley grain, was clearly not going to be chametz. It was Pesach, and generally the sacrifice, the offerings, the meal offerings, were not made into chametz. I think we spoke about that not so long ago, that they were not chametz offerings. Okay, so far so good. Let's move on. 15. Usfartem lochem imocharas haShabbos v'yom haviyachem es omer hatnufa sheva Shabbosos timimos tihiyana. You shall count for yourselves, starting on that morning, from the day when you bring the omer of the waving, you'll count 7 weeks. They shall be complete. Complete weeks. You will count 7 weeks from the beginning that morning when you bring the korban haomer. Ad mimocharas haShabbos haShviyis tisperu chamishim yom. Until the morrow of the 7th week shall you count, 50 days. Then what happens? Ve'ikravtem mincha chadosho laHashem. And then you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. So I'm counting from an offering. And what was the offering that I brought that I started my count from?
Barley.
Non-chametz. And then I count 7 weeks, and what do I accomplish at the end of those 7 weeks?
Bring wheat.
Excellent. Right? It doesn't say it in our verse, but we know that from the previous verse. I'm now going to bring wheat, and it's going to be what's called a new meal offering, a mincha chadasha. 17. From your dwelling places you shall bring bread that shall be waved. 2 loaves made of 2/10 ephah, they shall be fine flour, they shall be baked leaven. First offerings to Hashem, and then with certain sacrifices as well. Now, what other details do we now know about the offerings of Shavuos?
Leavened.
Right? And the bread. So what did I go from? I started from, the Torah makes it very clear as far as a connection goes. I started with barley that was made into non-chametz. I count 7 weeks. Then what do?
You bring another offering.
I bring another offering that's made of
wheat
that's baked into
chametz,
into bread. So far so good? So there's a progression from barley, non-chametz, count 7 weeks, and then I want you to bring wheat bread. And as was mentioned, this is one of the only times during the year that actual chametz is brought into the Beis HaMikdash. But that is what we find specifically on Shavuos at the end of these 7 weeks. So we now have a holiday referred to as the Chag HaShavuos. The holiday is referred to as the Festival of Weeks, which is really just one day. But what it signifies is the culmination of the counting of weeks. And the counting of weeks are connecting two important things. We started from, you know, the Torah defines, how would you and I, when we speak regularly, as we explain to ourselves or to others what the Sfiras HaOmer is, what do we use as our reference points when we say, what are you counting? What do we say to ourselves?
The second day of Pesach.
Until
Shavuos.
Shavuos, right? I'm counting from Pesach till Shavuos. Those are the words we use, because that's in essence what we're doing. We start on the morning after Pesach, and it culminates, the 49th day of the Omer is the day leading up to Shavuos. As soon as we finish day 49, we begin the Yontif that night. How does the Torah say the book ends of the count? It doesn't say count from Pesach to Shavuos. It says, and we'll read it again, you shall count for yourselves. When do you start? From the morrow of the rest day, which is from the day when you bring the Omer of the waving, begin the count with the Omer. When should you conclude? Until the morrow of the 7th week shall you count, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. Culminate that count of 50 days with a new meal offering. So that the count is really bookending our barley non-chametz offering of the Omer the day after Pesach. 50 days later, following the 7 weeks of counting, we offer a new offering, that of wheat, that of chametz. The progression from barley to wheat, the progression from non-chametz to chametz. Okay, so far so good. Let's talk a little bit about this interesting concept that it's called the holiday of weeks, which is an interesting concept. It seems like the weeks are connecting this. So there's a, what I'm basing this particular shiur, and I just want, let me give credit where credit is due. This is from Rav Moshe Eisman, who is a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a number of different little essays, and in one of the essays he talks about this concept, and I'm basing this talk on what he writes. So just give proper credit where credit is due. Rav Moshe Eisman, he's been here a couple of times. The set, I think we've done this in this class before, I'm sure you've heard in other places, the set of a day, week, month, year. Day, week, month, year. Which one of those does not belong in that particular set? Of a day, a week, a month, and a year.
A year,
why?
Because you're talking, when you talk about a year, you're speaking of something singular, and everything else would be.
Well, the day is also singular. Day, week, month, year.
Well, year doesn't have a real defined time. It's based on months, really.
Seasons,
how many months?
Not necessarily, because we have seasons.
Okay, yeah.
I pick week.
You pick week. Why?
Because if you're going to. If you want to see if you have the upside or anything, you always say the day, the month, and the year. You never say what week.
Okay, so as far as that second, we use it less as defining we use the week less in defining a point in time. Okay, any guess?
I mean, I would have said day.
Day.
Just because all the other three are made up of days. Days is the singular.
This is the simplest unit.
It's the simplest unit, which doesn't involve that. But I mean, I like the week being the less used.
Okay, so you ready for what Moshe Eisman has to say? I've heard this. I'm not sure if it's his, and I heard a quote from him or from others as well. How do we define a day? What defines what a day is?
Sunrise and a sundown.
Sunset to stars.
Sundown to sundown.
In its better or more scientifically defined term, not a day. Maybe you got confused from day like daylight, a full day. A full day is defined as the amount of time it takes the Earth to spin on its axis. When a certain point of the globe is in a certain position to the sun, the amount of time it takes for the Earth to spin on its axis, for that point to get to the exact same point again, is a full and complete day. the concept of defining a day, any astrological knowledge would define a day by the amount of time it takes the Earth to spin on its axis. Mm-hmm. That's a day. How would we define a month?
From the
amount of time it takes the moon to circle the Earth. The astrological phenomena of the moon circling the Earth from this point until it gets back to that point again is a complete month. How would we astrologically define a year? The amount of time it takes the Earth to circumscribe the sun. That's what a full complete year is. How much time it takes for that to happen, which is exactly 365 and a quarter days, is how long it will take the Earth to get to the exact same position in relationship to the sun as it was the year before. So that without any religious concept, without anything other than a basic knowledge of astrology, any society would have come up with the concept of a day, which is the amount of time that the Earth spins on its axis, the concept of a month, which is the amount of time the moon circumvents the Earth, and the concept of a year, which is the amount of time the Earth goes around the sun. What defines a week?
Shabbos.
Right? Nothing. There is no basis of Shabbos. In fact, it actually throws the system off, because seven doesn't really fit into the month or yearly cycle very well. Sort of breaks it up in a very odd way, which we've grown accustomed to. But if we were making up a system of a calendar, we would not create the concept of a 30 or 31 day month and a 7 day week. I don't think we would do that. But we never think about it because it's been done for us. There is no basis for the concept of a week in astrology, astronomy. It doesn't make sense. There's no physical phenomena that takes place in the world that would say, oh, I know, let's make a concept called a week. It doesn't break down evenly in months or in years. It doesn't fit.
If there is a full moon, though, in 2 weeks,
in a perfect 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Okay.
A month cycle is 29 and a half days.
That's because we adjust it.
No, the perfect month is 29 and a half. That's why a lunar calendar would vacillate between 29 days and 30 days, because between the two of them, you get it exactly right. But then the week would not fit into that perfectly. The only concept of the week is the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos infuses the week. And it is universally accepted throughout the world, because since the beginning of creation, any human being that's been alive, starting from Adam and onward, has had a concept of a week. And somehow, it's universal as a form of breaking down the calendar, even though it really doesn't make any sense why it should be that way.
How did the Sephiroth get into
our weeks? I know I'm not going to answer your question even before you finish it. I know. As soon as you said, how did the Sephiroth, and I knew, forget it. I know, I'm not going to have an answer for you. So says Rabbi Eisenman, the concept of the week doesn't fit into that set. Not for the reason why you say, which is true, but that's not the reason why he says it doesn't fit the set. Day, month, and year have observable astrological phenomena that give it reasons to exist. Why we would define time by a day. Why would we define time by a month or by a year? Weeks don't really make sense. Weeks are the concept of Hashem infusing our week with the holiness of Shabbos. It's not a physically observable phenomena, but it's a spiritually observable phenomena, that Shabbos is the anchor of the week concept of taking the 6 days of the mundane and then leading up to the holiness of Shabbos and then starting that cycle again. Shabbos is that testimony that Hashem created the world, that our mundane life that we live and the world that we live in with all of its physicality is really infused with something much greater than the physical phenomena of day, week, of day, month, year. With all of that, we live in the concept of the week. The concept of Shabbos is the center and the anchor of our existence, of infusing our mundane with holiness. Says Rabbi Eisenman, think about what we're doing. We start with Pesach. And what offering do we bring on Pesach? We bring an offering of barley that's non-chametz. Barley, the Gemara says, is really not fit for human consumption. It's not a primary human food, especially in the times they didn't make barley bread, they made wheat bread. They would feed it to their animals, and of course humans can eat it too. We all have barley and grains, and it's part of a staple of our diet. But it's not like wheat. We don't use barley like we use wheat. It was primarily in an animal society. Barley was reserved for the animals, and the humans ate the wheat. They would eat barley also. And therefore it's dealt with as a food. You make a mazana, it's part of the food. But it wasn't the it's not your rich grain like wheat is. So we would start on Pesach, and we'd bring an offering that was made out of barley, and it wasn't chametz, representing the simple, mundane, the Jew bringing his most basic needs, that which he's not, none of the pleasures or wealth or riches of the world, the food which is generally used for my animal fodder, which I could also use, I don't make it into chametz, and I offer it to you. Excuse me. And then I begin to count. I count weeks, the Torah says. The Torah doesn't say just count 50 days. It says count weeks. What's the difference between counting 49 days and counting 7 weeks? Right? Counting 49 days is just counting 49 days. Counting 7 weeks says, I want you to go through this cycle 7 times. Focusing on the concept of the week. The concept of Shabbos at the center, the concept of taking the mundane, the life that you live, infusing that with holiness, go through that process, count it, count the weeks, don't just count days, count weeks over and over and over. And at the end, what do you do after counting seven, and notice all the sevens, the repetition, right? 7 days, 7 times, what do you do after that? Then you bring a mincha chadosh, or then you bring a new offering, and what's that offering? Wheat and chametz. Then we have the audacity to bring into the Beis HaMikdash our riches, our wealth, the luxury of life, bread in the form of wheat, and we bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. And we say, before this count, I was only really prepared and fit to bring barley that wasn't chametz. To bring it to your holy abode of the Beis HaMikdash, I'm eating matzah right now, I'm breaking the haughtiness, I'm just staying with the simple, staying away from the luxuries. I eat matzah, and what do I bring to you in your holy temple? I bring barley that's not made into chametz. And then I go through a process. Then I begin to count. Not just days, I'm counting weeks. I'm infusing my week with the Kedusha, the holiness of Shabbos, and I do it again. And then I do it again. And 7 times I go through the process, and then I can celebrate the Festival of Weeks. And how do I celebrate? What marks the celebration of the Festival of Weeks? A new offering. A new offering. The first time I cut down my wheat, and I bring not just wheat as opposed to barley, but I make it into chametz. I have the boldness, the ability, the spiritual place, the stature to say, I am now ready to present not just barley, I'm ready to present chametz made out of wheat to you after all of this process. And it's called the Festival of Weeks. I mean, Eisman points out, when did the counts begin? How did the Torah describe it in the verses we read in the end of Devarim? When the sickle is first put to the standing grain. So he writes a beautiful language. He says, why does the Torah describe the beginning of the count as when the sickle is first laid against the standing grain? It's because the sickle is our problem. That's where the problem begins. Because the sickle represents my taking in all of my hard-earned labor. Now I have this field of crops before me, and I take out my sickle, and I lovingly polish it, and sharpen it, and I take it to the grain, and it's my wealth begins to fall before my eyes. Each stalk of grain, as my silos fill, and my family looks to me as the supporter, and my success of all of my planning and execution, and I'm ready to go. And the Torah says, as you begin that process, where the sickle is taken out, and you begin to harvest, this is when you say, before I enjoy all of my bounty, before I begin to fill those silos, now I begin to count. I begin to count, I start with barley, and I go through that process of the week of infusing the mundane with the holiness of Shabbos 7 times, and then I'm ready to actually take this grain, wheat, make it into bread, and present it to Hashem in His holy temple. The Torah never mentions the giving of the Torah as it's affiliated with Shavuos. It doesn't say it. It always says, you make me a holiday 7 weeks after you started the count. It does not say it commemorates the day the Torah was given. Not once in the entire Torah does it say that. It almost leaves it up to us to figure it out. It's not what's being celebrated, but it gives us the clues. What gives us the ability to take the barley non-chametz offering and 7 weeks later create bread in the Beis HaMikdash? That's what we've been leading up to. That's the power of the Torah of Shavuos that we're given, the holiness of the Torah, which tells us how to live our mundane lives and fuse it with holiness, as is represented by the seven, the concept of the Shabbos. It's a perfect fit that that would be the day the Torah would be given, even though the Torah itself never mentions it. Torah doesn't mention it, but that's what we understand. That's what's there. And that's why the Gemara says, no matter what the sages dispute, how to celebrate all the other holidays, there is one holiday which absolutely must be celebrated with delicious meals and festive times, aside for the time that you spend in the Beis HaMedrash studying and davening. And what's that one holiday where you must spend the time eating? That's the holiday of Shavuos. Because that's the day the Torah was given, the Gemara says. Because on the day the Torah was given, that's the day that we're given the tool to take our lives, our mundane, the things that we do throughout our day, making money, taking the sickle to the grain, and providing our silos. And the Torah gives us the ability, that power, to invest that with the holiness, to bring chametz into the Beis HaMikdash, to understand after the 7 week count, to be prepared to do so. And therefore on Shavuos, the day the Torah was given, the day we bring chametz into the Beis HaMikdash, is the day where the sages say you are absolutely obligated to celebrate that with physical stuff. You must have a meal. You can't spend this day in the Beis HaMedrash learning and davening. This day, the day that gives you the power to bring chametz into the Beis HaMikdash, to take your wheat bread and serve it before Hashem to say, I understand after the 7 week training period. I understand, I know how to use it. You can't spend that day in the Beis HaMedrash. That's the day you sit with your family and you have a meal and you enjoy the bounty that Hashem has given us in the Kiddush and the holiness of what the 7 weeks have taught us to do. And so specifically on Shavuos, we have that process of celebrating it with a meal, bringing the chametz into the Beis HaMikdash, and celebrating the giving of the Torah, which the Torah doesn't say is the day we were given the Torah. The Torah only says it's the culmination of the 7 week count that you started from Pesach. All right, those are some thoughts. Yeah.
Question. So when the sickle is to the first crop and so on, that's not a crop of barley. That's a crop of wheat. During all 49 days, it's wheat that they've been harvesting.
So I think they can start harvesting then everything, but the first offering of Pesach was from barley, and they have to take from the first of the wheat to then bring that on Shavuos. But they were allowed to cut it before then. I believe.
Could it also possibly be applied to a metaphor that this is a time in which we humbled ourselves to make us an appropriate nation or people to be recipients of a Torah?
I don't know if it's a metaphor. I think that's exactly what we're doing. That's what these weeks are our preparation for that, 100%.
With Dina's question, I want to respond. Chadash means, because Dina said, can you start harvesting it right during Pesach? So is Chadash, people keep Chadash, is that after Shavuot, or is that the harvest?
After Pesach, yeah. So I think you can start cutting everything from there, but
the
Shavuot offering would be brought from the first of the wheat.
So people that keep Chadash, that grain is, how is that different than other grain? It's grain that started after the first day of Pesach?
It was grain that was harvested after Pesach.
So they can eat the grain, they just don't bring it.
Right, the first offering of Shavuot. I have to look into exactly how that worked.
That's interesting.
I would have thought, after culminating, after the 49th day, the 50th day, we're on such a spiritual level that we would not have stuck to the physical.
And but I think that's the lesson. In other words, the concept of our spiritual growth is not separating from anything physical. It's elevating everything physical. It's really that.
Which is mixing the two together,
yeah,
physical and
that's
spiritual.
Really what it is. You know, we didn't discuss the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu from last week's Parsha. The Ramban says it doesn't mean separating from physical things. It means using it in measure. It's the example I like to give is, it's not having a piece of cake for dessert on Shabbos. It's only having one.
Yeah. I think I read a commentary about Nadav and Avihu, and one of their sins was they removed themselves from the physical, not
right. So that's there's a theme that goes all through the concept of kiddush. We make kiddush on wine. We don't refrain from wine. The concept of kiddushim when you get married, the concept of getting married is called kiddushas, holiness. It's not being a monk and living in a monastery somewhere. It is, you do get married, and that's holiness. Kiddush, kiddusha, the concept of the, we have like a nazir, there's a concept of somebody who separates himself, but the rest of us are kiddushim ti, we become holy through and with the physical, and therefore shavuos, which is giving us the tool to be able to do that, we actually do celebrate with cheesecake. Just one piece.